Good morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. This morning's Labor Department announcement that consumer prices rose 0.8% last month for an annualized 6.6% inflation rate was eagerly awaited by the nation's 40 million senior citizens. That's because it determines the size of the cost of living adjustment that will show up in their January Social Security pension checks. For the average retiree, the 5.4% COLA means an extra $31 a month. In Seminole, Florida, retired plumber Ed Smith can use the money.
Let's say it helps, depending on how much my payments are going to increase for Medicare. That is the big thing that will eliminate most of the $31. Give it to you in one hand and take it away with the other.
Energy prices last month posted their steepest increase on record thanks to the Persian Gulf crisis. Senators straggled back to the chamber this morning for more budget debate, with the countdown clock now showing 38 hours until the Treasury runs dry again. Correspondent Rob Armstrong reports.
The Senate spent much of yesterday wrangling over a pair of killer amendments that would have scuttled the bipartisan deficit-reducing budget bill. Senate Republican leader Bob Dole challenged his GOP colleagues not to abandon ship.
Now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. It's payoff time. We have to tell the American people we're going to provide leadership. In some cases, whether they like it or not.
The Senate bill would raise taxes on gasoline, alcohol, tobacco, and luxuries. Republican Malcolm Wallop of Wyoming says that spells business as usual.
Those of you who are not serious about the deficit are those of you who vote to spend and spend and spend, have new programs, and we've got a lot of them yet to come.
Later today, the Senate faces one more major amendment that would raise tax rates for the very wealthy, as the House bill does, something the president does not like and has threatened to veto. Differences in the two bills will be ironed out in a conference committee before a final version is sent down Pennsylvania Avenue to the White House. The view down there from CBS News correspondent Jacqueline Adams.
Since the bipartisan budget agreement went down in flames, the president's only leverage has been his threat to let the government run out of money if there's no final budget package by Friday midnight. But in the final round of this budget fight, the White House has made a strategic decision to throw the lawmakers a lifeline. Mr. Bush's deputies are making it known that should congressional conferees come within a day or two of giving him the budget package he wants, Mr. Bush would sign a limited emergency stopgap spending measure to keep the government operating. The proposal would contain a much reduced level of spending so that there would be savings and deficit reductions underway at the same time. All week, the White House strategy has been to let Congress work its will. But once the conference begins, the president's deputies will become actively involved, hoping to get the House to drop the income tax hikes that the president opposes. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, the White House.
Documents obtained by the Associated Press and the New York Times show more extensive dealings than previously acknowledged between three senators and Charles Keating, owner of the failed Lincoln Savings and Loan. The Ethics Committee documents are expected to play a major role in the panel's inquiry beginning today into efforts on Keating's behalf by Senators Alan Cranston, Dennis DeConcini, and Donald Regal. In El Salvador overnight, leftist guerrillas staged a bold series of coordinated attacks on the Air Force headquarters and a National Guard base. Several people were reported wounded before the rebels faded away. We get more from newsman Frank Smythe.
The rebels fired heavy mortars in the nighttime hit-and-run attacks. Government helicopters used flares to search for fleeing rebel units and counterattacked with heavy machine guns fired into the surrounding urban areas. Most fighting was over within an hour. It was the worst the capital city has seen so far this year. The violence comes as UN-mediated peace talks between the government and the rebels remain stalled, and as the U.S. Congress is considering whether to reduce military aid to the government by 50%. Frank Smythe for CBS News, San Salvador.
Diplomats at the United Nations say the five permanent Security Council members have now reached general agreement on a draft resolution that would require Iraq to pay for damages stemming from its invasion of Kuwait. It will be presented today to the 10 other members. Iraq had no luck when it tried to give oil away for free, so now it's offering it at a bargain $21 a barrel price to all buyers, including the United States. That was the OPEC target price before Iraq's August 2nd invasion of Kuwait. Today's world price is about $34. In Tokyo, passions are running high over Japan's role in the Persian Gulf. Bill Whitaker reports.
On the campus of Kyoto University today, police battled students protesting government plans to send Japanese troops to the Middle East. Prime Minister Toshiki Kaifu's proposal to send Japanese peacekeeping troops to Saudi Arabia has opposition politicians sniping at him from the floor of parliament. Japan's constitution prohibits the military from going abroad, and polls show a majority of Japanese wants the troops to stay home. But under pressure from the U.S., Prime Minister Kaifu is seeking to change the law. If he succeeds, he's likely to lose popular support. If he fails, he could be gravely weakened politically. At this point, it's not certain the Prime Minister has the votes to get this measure through Parliament. But one thing is certain. The heated debate about an expanded role for Japan's military is going to rage on for some time to come. Bill Whitaker, CBS News, Tokyo.
Cop killer Wilbert Lee Evans was put to death in Virginia's electric chair last night. His last-minute clemency efforts failed. They included evidence he had helped save the lives of prison guards during a riot. The former Playboy model and ex-cop who claimed she was framed for murder is back behind bars 3 months after she broke out of jail, Frank Currier reports.
At the Hog Trough Tavern in Milwaukee, no one last night was cheering the surprise capture of Wisconsin's most famous fugitive.
I feel sorry for her now that they caught her, you know, because I think she didn't have a fair trial at that at all.
Convicted murderer Laurencia Bembenek, nicknamed Bambi, was arrested by Canadian police yesterday in Thunder Bay, Ontario. The former Playboy bunny and ex-cop captured the fascination of many last July after she escaped from prison where she was serving time for murdering her ex-husband's former wife in 1982. A tourist from California tipped police after recognizing Bembenek from a recent edition of the TV show America's Most Wanted. Her employer, where she waited tables at the Columbia Grill in Canada, says he can't believe she murdered anyone.
As a waitress, is an excellent waitress, excellent worker, and polite for everybody.
Prosecutors say when she's brought back to Wisconsin in the days ahead, the prison escape will cost her an extra 5 years on her life sentence. Frank Currier, CBS News, Chicago.
Northwest Airlines canceled 50 flights yesterday and has grounded more planes today. The reason? The airline discovered ground crews had mistaken liquid hand soap for hydraulic fluid and mixed it into the hydraulic steering systems of at least two jetliners. A spokesman said he didn't think there was great peril because the contamination was detected early. The U.S. merchandise trade deficit jumped 2.4% in August as imports surged to a new record behind fast-rising oil prices. It'll be hard to keep this year's trade deficit under $100 billion. The dollar hit a 22-month low against the Japanese yen and is continuing to slide in European markets. Gold is up 350 in London, and on Wall Street, the Dow Industrials are ahead 13.37. It's 10 past 7.